Good morning and welcome back to the Roundtable and to our live broadcast from Tanglewood. As Alan frequently notes, the BSO is the finest orchestra in the world.
Indeed it is.
Certainly the orchestra in Tanglewood are recognized around the world.
And that doesn't just happen by accident. There's a hardworking team of professionals that keeps the Boston Symphony Orchestra in Tanglewood on the lips of both audience members and performers. And we are going to tell you who is the guy who really is sort of the linchpin of the whole thing.
And that would be Tony Fogg, who is the BSO's Artistic Administrator. Tony, thank you very much for being with us. It's always a pleasure.
Always a pleasure. And I have to correct you. The person who keeps it together is actually our driver, Pino Natale.
You have a great driver.
He is the man.
Excellent.
He's not Italian. He's Neapolitan.
And he drives pretty much everybody, right? I mean, anybody that you need to get from point A to point B quickly.
Well, there are some with whom we entrust a car that they can look after themselves. And
you don't trust Mark with a car, do you?
We don't trust Andrus with a car for the simple reason he doesn't have a license yet. And that's on his checklist of things to do.
Bucket list.
But
today, as we speak, there's a terrible pileup on the Mass Pike, which has really basically closed down the Mass Pike.
That's right. It's just cleared now, but it's meant that we've had to do a little rearrangement of the rehearsal order this morning, and it was to begin with Keith and the material for the Pops, but we've had to flip that, and so Andrus will be beginning at 10 with the Boston Symphony and the material that he's doing tonight. I should say, and I don't know whether anyone has actually noted this, that this is probably the first time that any music director has conducted all three of the ensembles on Tanglewood on Parade.
Interesting.
Because when John Williams had to withdraw from TOP because of his back problems, Andrus very graciously said he'd like to take over one of the Star Wars excerpts with the Pops that John was to do. So it's very rare that the Boston Symphony conductor conducts the Boston Pops, but that'll be happening tonight. And then, of course, he does the BSO material and then does 1812 with the combined forces. So I suspect this will be a first in Tanglewood history where the music director's done all three groups.
So how many people all together are in the combined group?
I think it's probably about 100. It'll be about 140, something like that. Wow. We can't double up on certain things. You can't double up on percussion, but we double up on winds, and we have this monstrous string section. So for a conductor doing it, this version of 1812 with the giant orchestra for the first time, it's, you know, they look and they get completely overwhelmed, and it's sort of like the, you know, this giant, like the tomato that ate Paris. What's that movie?
Right.
I hope it's the tomato that ate Paris. I don't know if it is, but I hope it is.
Anyway, it'll be a lot of fun, and I think Andrus may be doing 1812 for the first time himself tonight, so the way to go, and with the cannons and everything, so it'll be terrific.
We were told during... we were doing our sound check, and we were told that perhaps because of the change in the schedule that the cannons would be going off during the broadcast.
Yeah,
we were more than a little excited.
They may be. I don't know. We may be back on schedule now.
Okay.
We'll see. if people do hear loud banging, they know it's not a terrorist attack.
So the people who are listening right now to the radio may not know why you are the crucial linchpin to this, because if anybody falls out, if for some reason somebody hurts his back, somebody can't show up, somebody's plane doesn't work, you're the guy who has to know where everybody in the world, the principal people, are.
That's only one aspect of what I do.
No, I know that, but it's incredible that you do it.
Well, someone has to do it. It's got to be done. And if you had a committee of people trying to solve
rock,
a problem,
paper, scissors,
that's
sort of
right.
How that happened.
So someone's got to do it. So it's me. But, you know, more importantly, I look after the sort of the overall planning for the season, and very much look after each performance as it happens. And of course, with great anticipation, I go to every concert because I've been working on putting them together for such a long time. You want to see how it goes. And sometimes there are some tremendous surprises, you know, mainly very positive ones, that things work out to be even more wonderful than expected.
So. No, Joe, in my ears, I take perk up when you say mainly good things happen. Has anything bad ever happened?
No, sometimes things don't quite work as well as you'd like. You thought a particular combination of pieces would spark off against each other better than they actually do. Or very rarely is an artist not in their top form, but you can tell sometimes when someone may be struggling with a cold or whatever. But more often than not, it's a wonderful outcome. A very good example of this was last week when we did a fantastic program with The Knights, which is a wonderful chamber ensemble from New York. And we this summer we've been celebrating the 400th anniversary of the publication of Don Quixote of Cervantes,
sure,
with a number of pieces throughout the summer. And one of them was a performance of a absolutely enchanting piece by Manuel de Falla called Master Peter's Puppet Show. And we brought in a visual artist who works in the area of live video artwork, is the best I can describe it. And he created an absolutely original and very, very wonderful realization of this piece, which is often done with a puppet theater. But he had a video screen and he had wonderful little puppet figures on his thing, and he did some live drawings. You could see his hand going. And we didn't quite know what to expect with this. We knew his work, but we didn't quite know how this realization of this piece was going to work. And it exceeded all expectations. And I hope it's a format and a presentation of this wonderful piece by Manuel de Falla, which will have a long life. And I'm very glad that it was realized for the first time here at Tanglewood.
So, Tony Fogg, let me ask you this. I had a co-counselor at Camp Bronx House, and used to get a cookie and chocolate pudding. But the kids didn't want to eat the chocolate pudding. I'll tell you why some other time. But they would put the cookie in, and then you would put the chocolate pudding on top of the cookie. You see the metaphor here? So the question is, when you're planning a
the pudding metaphor.
Yeah. When you're planning a program, and you know Mozart will be very popular, but something else might be a little bit more difficult to, you know, to sort of stay with. Do you think cookie and chocolate pudding?
Oh, yeah. And in fact, last Sunday was a very good example of that, because we wanted to present with the Boston Symphony concert. We wanted to present Brett Dean's trumpet concerto. Brett is an extraordinary composer. He happens to be a compatriot. I knew him as a teenager when we were both back in Australia, but he's become one of the leading contemporary composers of today. And we wanted to present his trumpet concerto called Dramatis Personae with Håkon Hardenberger. But we thought it would be a tough sell in the shed, but why not put it on the same program as Yo-Yo Ma playing Strauss's Don Quixote?
Because that'd do it.
We knew we'd have a guaranteed audience. And so that's exactly what happened. And of course, it gave the opportunity for thousands and thousands of people to hear this contemporary work that they probably otherwise would have been a little nervous about. And it's a very approachable piece. It's spectacular, and Håkon is a great player. So it was, a very well-received work, and let's hope it opens up a new world of listening for quite a few folk.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Joe, one last question on that. When you're doing a yo-yo on the same program with a contemporary piece, it's strategic whether you put yo-yo second or first, wouldn't it be?
It depends on the piece. And there's a myth that we always put the contemporary piece in some spot where people are less likely to walk out. That's not at all the case. I'm always surprised what people make up about the rationale for program.
Why are you looking at me?
Well, you happen to be sitting in front of me. But I'm always astonished. People make up stories. Well, they did it this way because, or so-and-so is not playing because of this. And I sometimes, you know, feel like screaming. The contemporary piece goes where it sits best in the program. And there are many factors about that. It depends on the nature of the piece, how to contextualize it best, whether you need to be a very simplistic description, if it needs a soft piece to go before it or a loud piece to go afterward, or if it should come before the intermission or after the intermission, given the nature of the piece. So we put it in a spot in the program that's going to make the greatest sense. And in this case, Yo-Yo was playing Don Quixote of Strauss, which is a big symphonic tone poem. It's like a big symphonic work that happens to have a cello solo with it. and more often than not is the second half of any concert program. So it made greater sense to have the contemporary piece in the first half, the Brett Dean Concerto.
You were talking about sitting in the audience and taking in and watching what's going on. Are there things, realizing that there is some crossover sometimes of what you do here and what you do in Boston, does the reaction ever surprise you of, oh, something hits there and it doesn't here, or it does here and doesn't there, or we get a different reaction that is both lovely but it's just different?
Well, I tend to know the audience in Boston a little better because, you know, it's a smaller space and mm-hmm. fewer bodies, and we do have a very loyal core, so I physically know what they look like, and I sit in the audience for most concerts, whereas here it's a much more eclectic mix beyond the very loyal, faithful core of subscribers. So I sort of know how the Boston audience will respond to things. I'm never quite sure how it will be here, and sometimes we can have wonderful, you know, busloads of people coming in, especially for the day, and they have different musical levels of appreciation and background, and you can never quite tell, you know. And they, you know, the matter of applause between movements, which we had on Sunday, it doesn't worry me one bit. You know, if people are enthusiastic and they spontaneously applaud at something because they're moved, as they were, for instance, at the end of the first movement of this trumpet concerto, which is not a musical idiom that they would be familiar with, but it was clear that something amazing had just been performed, and this great virtuoso player and the great virtuoso orchestra. And, they applauded, and I thought it was fantastic.
Mm-hmm. When you're getting ready for tour, right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So is obviously one eye's on that, and then finishing up here.
Yeah, and I must say this summer feels very odd. Here we are, Tanglewood on Parade, and typically we've got another 3 weeks to go, and it's just this week and next, and then we're off. Yes, we do have an eye on the tour, although it's been in place for quite a while, and all of the repertoire has been in place for quite a while as well. And we're very excited about it. It's a A-plus tour, that's for sure. You've probably spoken with Mark about the details of it. But it's hitting all of the great musical centers, including Salzburg, where I've never been with the orchestra in my time. And that's, of course, one of the great musical capitals of Europe. And in the New Hall in Paris, which has had great reports. And so that will be interesting. And back to Milan, where we haven't played for many, many, many years as well. So it'll be a great tour with, you know, various logistical challenges along the way, but we've got a tremendous team who looks after all of those matters.
Well, we wish you safe travels and best of luck. Tony Fogg is the artistic administrator of the BSO. Always a pleasure to have you on the program. Thank you
great
very much.
Great to be here, Hugh.
We're big admirers.
And the feeling is mutual, and we look forward to being back here with you this time next year.
Can't wait.